Hope you guys had a wonderful weekend. I was watching some videos. Looks like the women had a good time. There was a whole bunch of videos. They had a women's Christmas party yesterday. Well, this morning we continue on with our message series. My legs are feeling a little weak. We continue on with our message series titled Lead Like Jesus. Now, last week we said this series was all about discovering how to be this leader like Jesus in the everyday life. We learned that last week, every single one of us is meant to be a leader. Every single person here is a leader. And some of you said, no, I don't think that's me. And yeah, something's crazy. You know? Is that, I can't just be sick. Something sounds weird. Is that better? A little bit? I don't know. But we said that if you didn't even think of yourself as a leader, that you are. That if you're a Christian and you have a heartbeat, and you touch your heart? Okay. Now find your pulse. Can you find your pulse? Okay. If you have a pulse, you're a Christian, God has called you to be a leader. That's just how it is. God wants you to lead the people in the direction of who he is. Some of you are still holding your pulse. You can't find it? Don't worry, you are alive, okay? You're here. You're here, okay? You are alive. And so if you're a Christian, God wants you to do that. I also shared with you last week that everything that we're going to talk about in this series applies to how you lead at work, how you lead in your home, how you lead in school, how you even serve here in your local church. This series is about learning to lead like Jesus, and Jesus was a tremendous leader. Let's go ahead and take time to pray over the word. Join me. Father, we thank you. May your word speak to us. May it encourage us. May it convict us. May it challenge us. May it inspire us. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I'm going to jump right here into this passage. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. We're going to take a look at. You can follow along in your message notes or read it up here on the screen. This is what it says. It says this. After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill, sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. I'm sorry. Now, hold on, let me drink this before I get into now. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment what's happening here. Jesus is here with his disciples. They've come to this place. 5,000 people have joined, at least 5,000 men, so more women and children, and they're all here to hear Jesus speak. Now, Jesus, he turns to one of his disciples. He turns to Philip. Imagine that he's turning to you. You're with him. And he turns to you and says, "Hey, Philip, Sarah, Tom, Bob," I'll make it up names now, Juan, I don't know. Say he turns to you and say, "Hey, how are we going to feed all these people?" If you imagine yourself for a moment thinking like, Jesus, I could be asking you that question, but how are you? Aren't you? You do the miracles, Jesus. Jesus, you're the one that does these things. I think I need to trust you with this one, Jesus. And Jesus is just trying to test him, just trying to see how he'll reply. But how often do we take on problems in life like Jesus has asked us to do it? Like he's just given us the green light to just go on right and do it. Like Moses is just part of the Red Sea. I think I'm just going to walk and just face this problem all by myself. And sometimes we do that. We'll take on the world. We have an issue. We have a problem. Something's happening in our marriage, in our home. Something's going on with our finances. And don't bother inviting God into the situation because I'm going to do this. I'm going to figure it out. I got a way. I got a plan. I'm going to strategize. I'm going to do it. And we do that so many times. And we don't actually invite God into what we're dealing with. Today, we're going to take a look at three lessons that involves every single one of you. See, if you have a pulse, And if you're a Christian, then this has something to do with you today. These are three leadership lessons that are for you. And so the first one is this. Lesson number one, don't ever measure a problem or a challenge based on your own abilities. Ladies and gentlemen, this is huge. This is huge. You have to get this. Don't measure a problem or a challenge based on your own abilities. How often do we do that? How often do we do that? You know, oh my gosh, this is such a huge problem, an issue, a situation, a concern, a challenge, whatever it is. You know, based on how much money I have, I'm never going to conquer this mountain. I'm never going to get out of debt. And we kind of look at that and we're like, okay, based on what I have, I can probably get up halfway through the mountain. Here's the problem when you only get up halfway through the mountain. Here's the problem when you only get up so far with whatever your issue or concern, what's happening in your marriage. Whatever it is, when you only get there, your mountain begins to turn back and look at you and begins to tell you that you're no good, that you don't have what it takes, that maybe it's your fault and maybe you're just broken and you're never going to get out of debt. Your marriage is never going to get any better. You're never going to get a better job. The negativity, the enemy begins to speak lies into your life. Because now what you've done is you've measured the problem or the challenge based on your own abilities. And that's not what God wants us to do. In John 6:7, this is what Philip replied this. Philip replied, even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them. Right? Philip, all he's thinking about the physical, the natural. He's thinking, okay, whoa, there's 5,000 men, and then we count all them and everybody. There's 12 of us, hey, who's holding the money? How much money we got? How are we going to feed these people? He's only thinking about it this way. What Philip is not taking into account is, but God. See, there's the whole God emphasis that sometimes, even as Christians, we leave God out. We don't actually invite God into the situation. We don't actually allow God to be a part of what's happening, to be a part of the concern, to be a part of even my marriage. We don't allow God to be a part of that. And so there's the whole, but God. You know, some of you have heard this story, and I'm going to sit down, rest my legs here to tell you this, but some of you have heard this story when I was a young child. My appendix bursted. And, doctors had to go in and do all that. And doctors told my parents that I was gonna die. And they had so much time with me. And they had to just enjoy that time, make as many memories as possible. But there was only such amount of time that I was going to have. And my parents weren't serving the Lord at the time. But my mom, she tells this story very vividly, and she'll tell you that she cried out to the Lord, and she essentially said this: if you heal my son, I'll serve you with my life. Well, God flat out does a miracle. Doctors don't know what's happened, but I make this full recovery. Huge. We can give the Lord praise the Lord for that, right? And so, so my mom makes this decision and she turns her life over to the Lord. And then sometime after that, my dad. But this is what each and every one of us need to take into account, ladies and gentlemen. But God. See, when you invite God into things, when you begin to measure a problem by what God can do rather than what our own abilities is, it's completely different. It's a game changer. And fellas, let me speak to you for a moment, because I know how we are. Right? There's a situation going on in our home and our family or our finances. Hey, we'll work 5 jobs if we have to. Or we'll do whatever it is that we have to do because that's what we do. And that's where we are. But fellas, I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you that sometimes, all the time, we have to be careful, cautious, that we don't miss inviting God into what He wants to do, because He wants to work in you and through you, because we're so we got this type of mentality. And I'd like to say it's a machismo thing, but that's not even a Hispanic thing. That's a everybody thing. That's how we are as men. But you need to invite God into this. Because no matter what the situation is, I was talking with a pastor this week. We were sitting down, and actually a bunch of us, and we were sitting around a table. We were planning out some things here for 2017. And one of the pastors, he says, you know, how do you find a positive angle in a negative slope? He says, you know, if you're going down a negative slope, how do you find a positive angle? And then he says, look up. So if you're going down this negative slope, if you turn around and you look up, that's huge. How do you find something positive in something negative? In whatever problem, whatever situation, whatever's happening in your life, your marriage, your home, your finances, you look up. What is the positive angle in a negative situation? God. God is that. So ladies and gentlemen, no matter what you are going through, that positive situation, that positive angle is God. So look to Him. Turn to Him. Turn your hearts towards Him. And the second lesson for us to learn through this passage here this morning is this. Little in the hands of Jesus becomes much. Little in the hands of Jesus becomes much. This is big here. This is big. You see, because when you make a decision to look up, when you make a decision to place something in God's hands, it is, ladies and gentlemen, a game changer. It's a game changer. Now, I'm not talking about, well, you know, I've tried everything that I could possibly do, so I might as well try God. You know, I've done everything I could do. You know what? I'm going to try the God thing. That's not what I'm talking about here. That's not this. What I'm talking about is this. You placing your full faith in God, my gifts to God, you giving everything to God. Even when you feel inadequate, because I get it, sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we feel like we don't have the gifts, we don't have the talent, we don't have the ability, we don't have the finding, we just don't have what it takes. But even you placing whatever it is that God has given you, placing that in His hands, even when you feel inadequate, even placing your time schedule, because sometimes we want things from God at a certain time in a certain way, and it's got to happen. God, if you don't do it at that time, then God, we ain't cool no more, right? But let God go to work in those areas. In verses 8 and 9, it says this, then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd? Now, that's a great question. What is he going to do with that? What is he going to do with that? You see, there is someone here who has faith but doesn't know how to walk it out. I don't know if you've ever been there. You got faith. You believe in God. You do believe He exists. You even have a personal relationship with Him. But you are not sure how to begin to walk out the faith part. I mean, how exactly do I begin to walk this out? I mean, because I believe. I'm just not sure where to go from here. How does what I feel begin to apply there in my home, in my marriage, in my life? How does that begin to happen? Have you ever felt like, I think I can, I think I can. Oh no, I don't think I can, I don't think I can, I don't think I can. Have you ever been there? Let me ask you, have you ever done that with God? You know, for example, you know, let me turn this situation over to God, but then you think, I don't think I can handle it, or I'm not sure I can do this, or I think I could do this by myself, or I want you to look at how Jesus responds. Look how Jesus responds in verses 10, 11. He says this, tell everyone to sit down, Jesus said. So they all sat down on a grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Remember, I mentioned that to you. Verse 11, then Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks to God and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a miracle happening here. Flat out miracle is what's happening here. And I want you to understand this. Little in the hands of Jesus can become much. And I want you to know this. Little in the hands of Jesus can come much. I'm talking about your finances. I'm talking about your talents. I'm talking about your gifts, your abilities. I'm talking about your family. I'm talking about your home life. I'm even talking about the things that you struggle with in life. Little in the hands of Jesus can become much. What you think you have or that inability you feel you have, placing it in God's hands becomes much. God is willing. God is desiring. It's not just what God, you know, suggesting that you should do. God desires to work in your life this way. This is what he wants to do. So I ask you this. What is in your hands? What's in your hands? What is it that God has given you? I want you to think for a moment. What is it that God has provided you with? What is it that you feel inadequate about? What is it that you feel concerned with? What is it that you feel overwhelmed with? What is it that God has blessed you with? In the Old Testament, the people of God, they had a leader. His name was Gideon. Gideon was a judge in Israel in the 1100s. He ruled Israel from around 1151 BC to about 1191 BC for about 40 years. This is over 3,000 years ago. Did you read this history? You can read it in the Bible. It's all there. He ruled from that time period for those 40 years. And on one particular occasion, the people were getting ready to go fight another country called the Midianites. And Gideon's like, okay, I'm calling for the whole army to come out. Everybody comes out, and they're ready, and they're there. And then God speaks. Well, how about we just read it? This is what it says in Judges 7:7. The Lord told Gideon, "With these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home." First of all, you guys realize this is the first 300. Before that movie and any kind of 300 came out, this was the original 300 right here. God said, "Send everybody home." I'm just going to use this little. And can you imagine the people? Can you imagine Gideon? Can you imagine the situation? Could you imagine yourself? God, but I need more than this to handle this situation. God, this bill is going to cost more than this, God, but this is all I have. And God, you want me to give this to you? God, this is what my family is going through right now, and you want me to surrender my kids over to you? God, this is what I'm dealing with. God, this is what I'm facing. Could you imagine Gideon? God, why are you sending my army home? There's thousands of them, and with 300 men, God, you're going to do this? These 300 men, they ended up winning the battle. God gives them this amazing victory. God says this, ladies and gentlemen, he's saying this to each and every one of you here this morning. He only needs a little from you. And he's going to get the job done. What is it that your heart's been desiring? What is it that you've been struggling with? What is it that you've been overwhelmed or concerned with? What is it that's been heavy on your hearts? God says, just give me what you got and watch me work in your life. And God does this over and over throughout history and throughout Scripture. He shows us again in 1 Samuel 17:50. It says this, "So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him." I want you to pay special attention to the fact that Scripture emphasizes something here. It's not just that David defeated him, but pay attention to the second part of that. It says, without a sword in its hand. Why does Scripture need to emphasize that? Scripture, God wanted us to understand that he didn't need David to have a sword. He didn't need David to have an army. He just needed the little. Because with a little, God can do anything. There's nothing God cannot do. Give him praise. Absolutely. Give the Lord praise. So why does God do that? Why does God want to work in individuals like each and every one of us? You know, why doesn't God just work in those people? Why does God want to work in them? Because listen, this is the thing. It brings glory to his name. What does that mean? What does that mean for humanity? It means that people's hearts and lives will turn to him because they will finally see him. Because his glory shines. Because a miracle happens. Because the impossible happens. And God wants to do that through each and every one of you. See, if you're a believer and you have a pulse, God wants to work his glory through your life. I told you at the beginning of the series, you are a leader. And God wants to use you to point people toward Him. So what's in your hands? What gifting, what skill, what ability, what connection? What is it that needs to be placed in His hands? And the third lesson is this. Every encounter with a problem or challenge can bring an increase. I'm going to read that for us again. Every encounter with a problem or challenge can bring an increase. I'm going to jump right here into the passage. This is what it says in John chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. When they had all had enough to eat, He said to His disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. See, when the glory of God shows up, when God does a miracle, it's almost like heaven leaves a residue of proof for your faith so that you don't forget what God has done. So that you don't just call it a coincidence or luck. You just don't say, "Wow, I just happened to come and it was just the right timing or it was just something." No, God intervened. God blessed. God provided. God made a way. Ladies and gentlemen, and that's how you need to look at it, that God is good, God is faithful, God is a good, good Father, like the song we sang. See, when the glory of God shows up, it's not just for your situation, but it's for you later. It's for your neighbor, it's for the person at work, it's for the family member, it's for your son, it's for your daughter, it's for everyone who God places in your path. Because now you have a testimony to share. See, God has worked in you and through you, and He's left that over for you so that you can now share. So that somebody else can come to know Him. See, your increase, no matter what shape or form it comes in, has everything to do with the faith that God wants you to have. I'm going to say that again. Your increase, no matter what form or shape it comes in, has everything to do with the faith that God wants you to have. Nacho, can you join me? Thank you. We've been reading this passage and this story in the book of John. Mark also tells the story. And in Mark, he continues on with what's happened right after Jesus has done this miracle. You see, Jesus has done this miracle, and He's fed 5,000 people, more than that, right? Because we know that the number was at least 5,000 men. They're all amazed. They got all this food left over. They've got 12 baskets. It's this big thing. But the disciples, they're not really sure that they know. You know, it's kind of for them, it's almost kind of like, well, maybe it's just luck. Maybe somebody else, you know, in the crowd started passing out food, but somewhere or another, there's all this stuff. So, you know, it's at the end of the day. It's now time for them to move on. And so Jesus tells the disciples, you know, guys, go ahead and get in the boat. Take the boat across the other side of the lake. And I'm going to be there. I got to handle something real quick. So Jesus doesn't go with them right away. And so they're in the boat and they're going across and they hit this huge, huge storm. They hit this huge storm and they're panicking. They're unsure. They're uncertain of what's going to happen to them. They've just been a part of doing all of this with Jesus. And now they're panicked. They're going to die. They're going to drown in the middle of this lake because the storm is happening. This is what the verse says. This is what Mark 6, 51 and 52 says. It says this. Then He climbed into the boat. He is Jesus. Jesus climbed into the boat and the wind stopped. I'm just going to stop there for a minute. You got to understand this. You see, when Jesus steps into the problem, things stop, things change. See, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what it is that you've been facing, no matter what it is that you've dealt with, no matter what it is that's been heavy, so on your heart, it's just weighed you down, no matter what's happened with your kids, with your family. See, when Jesus steps in, this is the thing. Jesus cannot step in if you don't invite Him in. Jesus isn't going to force His way in your life. Jesus isn't going to knock you down. Get out of my way. I want in your life. That's not how he works. But if you invite him in, he'll step into the boats. The passage says that when Jesus stepped into the boat, the wind stops. Then it says they were amazed. How can this possibly be? Allow God to step in. Listen, this is what it says. They were totally amazed. Verse 52, for they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves, right? The feeding of the 5,000. Then it says this, their hearts were too hard to take it in. I want you to underline that. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. You see, ladies and gentlemen, what God is asking you today, this morning, on this very day, right now, is to soften your heart toward him. See, I get it that you're already a Christian, and I get it that you're already a believer and that you love the Lord. I'm asking you to soften your heart to him in a way that you believe that God can work in signs and wonders in your life, that God can do the miraculous, that God can do miracles in you and through you, because some of you have got yourself convinced that you don't have what it takes, that you're inadequate, that you've messed up too much, you've sinned too much, you've got too much baggage, too many things have happened in your life, and you just don't have the abilities to find it, you don't got nothing, and you've already defeated yourself. And God says, listen, I'm trying to do these miracles, but now your heart's just hard because you don't really believe it. Like, you believe in me, but you don't really believe that I can do these things through you. You're comfortable with the status quo. And he's saying, listen, I can do these things through you. Not only do it, can I do them? I desire to. I want to. You're already part of the biggest miracle, and that's turning your life to Jesus. Do you know how hard that is for some folks to understand that there's this, and it seems a simple message, but that's not how it is for everyone. That here's this great love who would forgive your sins and just ask you to welcome him to his heart. And when you make that decision, you're forgiven, and you're given this eternal residence in heaven. So when the lights go out on us one day, and every single person, the lights will go out one day, there's no need to fear or worry because you know where you're going. That's the biggest miracle. And he's saying, now, listen, I want to do these things. God wants to work in a supernatural ways in your life. So believe that God can do anything. Believe that even God can use you. Stop defeating yourself. Don't let the enemy tell you that you're not good enough. That you don't have to do what it takes. And so listen, I'm gonna close and tell you this. You know, maybe this speaks to some of you who feel like, you know, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but I don't know. That you're asking me to get out of my comfort zone, and that's not me. My wife and I were driving in the car this week, and We had a dinner meeting with a bunch of other pastors and leaders, some good friends of mine. And we're driving home, and she's like, I I've noticed that you're a little shy and reserved sometimes, but today just seemed like, you know, I guess I never really noticed what's always been there, kind of how you are with some things, you know. And I was like, well, you know, that's just how I am. I don't really like being the center of attention. She kind of laughed. She's like, but you get up in front of everybody on Sundays and you're always preaching and teaching and that kind of thing. And I was like, you have no idea what it takes for me to do it. And you know, we're talking. And I told her it's not, you know, this natural thing. I told her the reason why I do it, and this is what I'm gonna tell you, the reason why is because God's called me to do it. So, I mean, that's just huge. I'm willing to conquer fears. I'm willing to challenge myself. I'm willing to stretch myself. I'm willing to do those things because that's where God's led me. But the second thing is this. I've told God this. God, I'm just flat out, I'm just not gonna do it if you're not in it. So God, if your blessing isn't there, God, if your favor isn't there, if your anointing isn't there, God, I'm just not going to do it. It's not going to be a part of my life. So God, I need you. And what I want to reassure each and every single one of you is that number one, God has called you to be someone who influences people for Jesus, to point people toward him. Every single one of you, he's called you to do that. Now, there's certain giftings and abilities, and he wants to use those things, and those things you'll come to discover. But this is what I want you to understand, that don't let the enemy, don't let yourself talk yourself out of these things because you feel inadequate or you feel like your past is just too heavy on you. Don't let that be the case, because God can do anything in you and through you. And not only can he, but he desires to. See, your families need somebody who loves the Lord, full of the Holy Spirit, who believes that God desires for them. Your homes need that. Your workplaces, they need that. Your schools, they need that. See, the way you serve your community, the way you serve your local church, they need somebody who can not just say, yes, I can do it, but somebody who believes that God is about to do something through them and in them. So just right where you're at, I just want you to close your eyes for a moment. Let's take a couple deep breaths. The first thing I want to ask you is this: if you're here this morning and maybe you've never given your life to Jesus, but you know, you just really just, you don't want to run down the road that you've been running all this time. You're tired of trusting yourself. You want God in your life. You want to surrender. You want to get things right with him. You want to begin to take those first steps. And that first step today is saying, you know, God, I confess that I'm a sinner and I want you to be my Savior. I want eternal life. I want heaven, God. I want you in my life. Or maybe you're here this morning and you were living right with God, but that hasn't happened in a while, and it's time to rededicate your life over to him. And if one of those two things is true for you and you need Jesus in your life with nobody looking around, just quickly just put your hand up and then down. Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, I see your hand. Anybody else? I know the Holy Spirit is moving. Let him speak. Let him work. That's what God does. He just, let him work. Let him speak. If that's you, I just want you just to begin to talk to the Lord. Just begin to confess. God, I've done wrong. I've sinned against you. And for everyone else here this morning, you know, you are ready to hand over whatever it is that you have, because you believe that God will turn it into much. And if that's you, I want you to just trust the Lord. Just trust the Lord. God's going to do something. Just begin to talk to him. Tell him that you love him. Say, God, I love you. Say, God, I need you. Say, God, I am nothing without you. God, forgive me for my sins. God, forgive me for the wrong things I've done. Clean my heart. Clean my mind. Forgive me for my past. God, may it not weigh me down anymore. God, may I have brand new life in you. May I receive eternal life. May I begin to trust you, Lord, with everything that you've given me. May I trust you with my spouse. May I trust you with my kids. May I trust you with my finances. God, may I trust you with my education. God, may I trust you with my future, with the unknown. God, let me stop worrying about tomorrow and let me just trust you. You're a good, good Father. You desire good things for me. May I trust you. God, I pray right now, hear the prayers of your people. See their hearts, receive their worship. Hear them, God. They're talking to you. Hear them. Talk to God. Talk to your Father. He's a good, good Father. Talk to him. Tell him. Tell him what's happened. Tell him what you desire. Talk to him about what's burdened you. God is here for you. God loves you. Say, not only are you my sons and daughters, but you're my ambassadors. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Holy Spirit, have your way this morning. Do what you need to do. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.